177. 177. Let's stand and sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. 177. Sing out now.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God.
Amen right there. Amen. Great is His faithfulness. I've said this so many times, but it always bears repeating. He's not just good, He's great.
Amen.
He's not just adequate. He is exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And what a God we serve. Amen. Good to see you in the service today on a beautiful Sunday morning, the second Sunday in March, and we're moving right along. And I'm sure now, by your presence here, I know that you remember to turn up your clock. There may be a few that did not. One in particular I'm thinking about who told me he's on Puerto Rican time, but I won't tell you who that is. But he come barreling in here for, I hope, Sunday school, but he missed it. No. You know, it happens that way. We're just glad you're here tonight. And we've got more folks running in here now. So, oh my gracious. But anyway, we're so glad to have you in the service. God bless you for being here. And good to have Brother Aaron Martin back with us. Brother Aaron's been trying to get a job, a business started, kind of just decided he'd just rather be at home. So he's back here with us. I miss Brother Aaron. I miss him. I miss that very deep voice of his. And I know his family. My gracious, look at their old Zachariah tickled to have Dad home. How about that? But anyway, we're glad to see you here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask God's blessing upon the service. And then you can be seated, and the choir will sing another number. All right, heads are bowed, and eyes are closed. Father, we love you, and we're grateful for the time together. So glad to be back in the house of God today. And Lord, the Bible said, this is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm glad to be here, glad to be with God's people, glad to see all the smiling faces, glad to hear Him sing, great is Thy faithfulness. And Father, I pray that we'll not just sing about it, but we'll live like we believe it. And Father, I pray for the choir, You'll bless them, and the special music, of course, the preaching of Thy Word. Bless everyone that's here. There are some not able to be here for sickness and other reasons. Lord, but I pray that You'll get them back well, so maybe they can be back with us tonight. But God bless this day and this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
In a foreign land.
testimony song. Hope you can say that's true in your life.
Amen.
Well, let's stand. We've got, I don't think we have any visitors today. So let's stand. We're going to greet each other, give the choir a chance to come down. Thank you, choir. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being here in the service today. We've had a few more to come in. Glad to see you made it all right, and we're looking forward to a good day in the Lord. Don't forget, we'll be back here tonight at 5:30 now, so we want you to be right back in your place, but let's enjoy a good time together here this morning in God's house, all right? Let me just mention a couple prayer requests real quickly. Jim Clower is starting his chemo treatments tomorrow. Brother Jim wasn't doing too well, and so he's going to have this done. So you pray for Jim, Rhonda Hale, Cecilia Streets, that's Miss Gail's mother. They went to see her this weekend, had a birthday with her, and she's got some cancer, and we want to be praying for her as well. And then many of you got the email from Brother Steve, Rebecca Spanigal. Many of you remember Rebecca. Her family, her parents have adopted several special needs children over the years, and so got quite a large family. I remember Rebecca was here while she was in law school, And after she graduated, she decided to go into special needs advocacy. So she actually is for special needs people. And so she's really following her desire to help her family. She's got a brother named, and I believe it's pronounced Danelle, it's D-A-N-E-L-L-E, so I'll say Danelle, who is in the hospital on a breathing machine, on a respirator, and they're going to try to take him. He's had some health issues besides the special needs issues, and they want to try to take him off of the breathing machine. And one of two things will happen in his case because he has severe special needs, that either he'll get better or at least back to what they consider normal, or they'll have to leave him on it and actually put him in hospice. And so it's a kind of a dire situation. I haven't heard any more from Rebecca today. And so, in fact, I think they were going to take him off yesterday. Was it today? And so maybe we'll know something more this afternoon. But we love Rebecca. She's such a precious young lady. And she comes every so often and visits with us. But you pray for the Spanagle family. And then I have a very special request. Brother Thomas Thacker. Brother Thomas, most of you have ever been to Jefferson. Brother Thomas pastors the church there in Jefferson, Almeda. Ladies have been to some ladies' meetings there. We've been to some revivals there. Brother Thomas has been here. Brother Thomas Thacker was, when I was going through those difficult days, Brother Thomas was one of a few who literally called me at least every other day, asked how I was doing, to check on me, to pray with me. And Brother Thomas, such a good man of God. I met him in Dank, Virginia, at a preacher's fellowship. He was pastoring in Johnson City then. This was years ago. And we struck up a real good friendship, and now he's been in Jefferson now for a long time. But he's got liver cancer. And I talked to his wife Friday, and he spent all night in the ER. And it's a very aggressive cancer, so they're not sure what they're going to do, if anything. But he had to spend the night in the ER because this is one of those situations where there's a lot of pain involved, the cancer. And I hate that. I would pray that if God didn't want to heal the cancer, that he would just let Brother Thomas be comfortable while this is happening. Brother Thomas, such a good man, and Miss Faye. And so pray for Thomas Thacker. He's the pastor at Almeda Baptist Church in Jefferson, North Carolina. And I hope that you'll remember to pray for him. Brittany's at home sick. We've got some others that are just kind of, you know, under the weather, trying to get good or bad. The Asingwas, both their kids have got high fevers. No, I don't think it has anything to do with the coronavirus, although I understand there's a case in Kershaw. So, you know, that's right around the corner from us. And I don't know what's going to happen with all that. But I tell you what, I do know what the Bible says. In the last days, there will be pestilence. And, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be, at least in the beginnings of it, an epidemic or a pandemic. But the Bible does declare that in the last days there would be, you know, just a lot of pestilence and famine and distress of nations. And we're really in all that right now. So anyway, you pray for the folks that are not able to be here, and pray that the Lord will help Brother Thomas. I really would like you to remember him especially in prayer. Okay? Come on, Brian.
All right. Good to see you this morning. We got choir practice today at 4:30. Followed by the evening service at 5:30. Wednesday night, prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. Be right here in your place. Friday evening is the ladies' Bible study. That's at 6:30 Friday evening at Miss Lisa Gonzalez's house. It's got a Mexican theme, so it's from Mexican food, Mexican dress. My wife, she can wear a sombrero. Now you've been looking for an opportunity to wear that, so you can wear it Friday. Anyway, if you don't have one. If you have one, you can wear it, okay? So that's 6:30 Friday night. If you need the address, see Miss Lisa about that, okay? And if you were not here at the ladies' meeting yesterday, I think yesterday some of the ladies signed up for what they're bringing Friday night. So if you weren't here yesterday, ladies, go see Miss Susan this morning after the service and try to get involved in bringing food or something for that ladies' Bible study Friday night. You'll have a good time at that. Ole! All right. Now, here's the other thing, guys. The Anchor Youth Choir. Okay, Anchor Youth Choir. Now, y'all are singing at the Life Care Center on Sunday, April 5th, so that's a little bit less than a month from now. But you're going to practice here this Saturday, 11 to 1. So this Saturday, young people that are in the Anchor Youth Choir, 11 to 1 this Saturday. And the guy who arranges the special music for the church told me that y'all might be singing on Sunday morning coming after your practice. So here. Amen. Oh, so there you go. He said y'all might do that. So I'll be ready for that. So this Saturday, 11 to 1, And then maybe practicing again on April 4th. That would be the Saturday before your actual singing at Life Care Center. So we'll keep you notified of that. So be here Saturday, young people, and you'll enjoy that.
That's why Brian drives a separate car to work at the church, so he doesn't have to beg somebody for a ride home. All right, we're going to recognize birthdays this morning. March birthdays, members, visitors. If you have a March birthday, will you stand? Two of you or just one? Just you? Okay, that's okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? March birthdays. Wyatt Stanley? Okay. Great. Okay, he's trying to. Let's sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, you can be seated. Now, anniversaries. I know Brittany's going to be mad because I did this, but she's homesick. But Andrew, stand up. Stephen, Gail. Okay, anybody else? March anniversaries. March anniversaries. Okay, let's sing. He's going to play for himself.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you.
She's going to be mad because you thought she was that big. Okay. All right. Enough levity. 341. We're going to sing this for Miss Ramona. 341. Let's stand and sing. Victory in Jesus.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin and was of his glory.
Care of the offering this morning. Good to see all of you here. Give you a chance to give. Thank you for the way you've given to the Jubilee. Don't forget now, if you've pledged for the Jubilee, you need to get your money in as soon as you're able. And we have just less than 2 months if you want to count all the way through March and April. April the 25th on that Saturday will be our ladies' meeting, and so we're already getting calls for it. And people calling in wanting to reserve a place, and so we're looking forward to having a good time in the Lord. Excuse me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the offering. And then we want you to give as unto the Lord. All right, Brother Joaquin, you pray for the offering, please.
Okay.
comes this morning, we have the quartet coming to sing for us.
Before we get ready to sing, thank y'all, the parents, for letting the youth go with us yesterday to the singing. We had such a great time, great spirit, great travels, and we had a good fun time serving the Lord there. And even just amazing how the Lord works things out. Even Ryan, Jacob and Dante were able to sing a little bit with Brother Gerald Wolf there at Hymn Sing, and made a hit on the online. So, but y'all just thank y'all for supporting the youth. Thank you, church, for allowing us to go and to provide the means for us to go. Also, if y'all would, just let you know, we have another youth meeting coming up March 21st. We're going to be going to it. March 21st down at St. Stephen's at Brother Willis's church. So we'll give you more information to come, but that's only 2 weeks away, I believe. So anyways, y'all pray for the youth as we try to serve the Lord together.
Amen. For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for flowers that bloom, for oceans so blue, thank you, Lord. For the sparrow that sings, it makes sweet melody, for rivers that flow, the rain and the snow, thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord,
for making me whole,
saving my soul. Thank you, Lord,
for my home and family, for life's joy that you've given me, for shoes on my feet, for plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord, for this church where I worship and pray, for the freedom that I have today. Your spirit's so real, your presence so real. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.
For being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I cannot stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on the cross of Calvary, for taking my place, your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord,
for everything that you've done for me.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we ought to thank the Lord all the time, shouldn't we? Not just on Sunday or Thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful all the time. The Bible said that's the will of God concerning us, is that we be thankful. Yes, ma'am.
Go right ahead. You don't have to apologize. Right. Yeah, that's right. How about that? That's right. Amen. Praise God. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Wonderful. How about that? Praise God. Isn't it amazing how He does all the giving and we do all the getting? Something else. How about that? Praise God. Well, somebody else want to thank the Lord for something? I will just go ahead and open up the floor. Go right ahead. Go ahead, Jude. Right. Amen. Go ahead. How about it? Amen. Wonderful. Yes, she has or have. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. Anybody else?
Right.
We'll kick the chair. How about that? Right. Yeah. How about that? Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. 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 Yeah. That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen. You know, I've had young people say to me, you know, since I sow my wild oats and live my life, then I'll get saved because then I'll appreciate it more. Well, I got news for you. I appreciate the fact that I didn't have to sow my wild oats. I appreciate the fact that I didn't have to go in through some things that young people do because they want to appreciate it. I appreciate it a whole lot that I didn't have to go through that stuff. And so I'm grateful to the good Lord for that. All right, anybody else? I'm fixing to preach. All right, Brother Leon. Amen, Brother Leon. Brother Leon and myself and Brother Tim went out and handed out tracts yesterday. We were in my car and we were riding down the road. I said, I'm the youngest one in this car. And Brother Leon got out there and climbed them steps. Brother Tim got out there and climbed them steps. And their pastor got out there and watched them climb them steps. No, I climbed my share. But anyway, I appreciate that, Brother Leon. Brother Leon, listen, if you don't know Leon Richard, you need to get to know Brother Leon. What a blessing he is and a joy to be around. Man. Amen. Yeah, amen. Wonderful. We had Brother Steve back. He'd been down at New Orleans for some training down at the Big E's. He said, boy, that place needs Jesus. I said, I guarantee it. One more. All right. Amen. In case you didn't get to see the video, Jake and Dante sang with Gerald Wolf. And Gerald Wolf is one of the members of Greater Vision. He's been singing a long time, so this is probably the two next guys that will be singing with Greater Vision back down the road. And they're already getting hooked in. But if you didn't get to see that video, you ought to let Shelt or somebody that's got to show it to you. It's great. And I appreciate him singing those good hymns. That's wonderful. I turn your Bible to Jeremiah 18 this evening, or this morning, chapter 18. I would say one of the simplest, easiest texts in all of the Bible, yet with a great, profound. Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah, of course, writing to Israel about their coming judgment and about their judgment that they're going through and how that God was going to judge their sin and God was going to judge their idolatry. And yet God always takes time to show mercy. Here in chapter 18, we begin reading in verse number 1, a great story of mercy. If you're able, let's read it together. Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1. Word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, rise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Father, bless your word, our hearts, and this simple thought, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach just a few minutes on this thought, a life made over. A life made over. Have you ever thought to yourself, boy, I wish I could do that over again. I wish I could go back and do that over again. Boy, if I could go back and do that over again, I'd sure do it different. Well, human beings actually have that opportunity. We really do. So notice here that Jesus is using, or the Bible, God is using an analogy here about a potter and some clay field. And though what we see in the context is that of a clay pot that has no thought of its own, has no opportunity to design itself, has absolutely no way to be anything on its own. There's the difference between a lump of clay and us lumps of flesh, is that the potter, who is God, still wants to do something with us. But unless we make ourselves like lumps of clay, many of us will miss out on what God has in store for us. So many people try to predetermine in their own mind what they want to do. Now, they're saved. They've asked Jesus into their heart. And now it's time, as for any Christian, as they grow, God, what do you want me to do? Like Paul said. And God begins to work, and He begins to open doors, and He begins to prepare and to give us the tools we need. And then suddenly, at some point, we were grateful up to that point. But now, Lord, now here's what I want to do. And when you say that, when you think that, when you contemplate that in your heart, you have now taken the work of the potter's hand. Now, I could go into detail about potters and picking pottery and all. I read all that. But I think most of you understand all that. What I really want to do is just look at this very simply. I told you, it's a simple text. I mean, how simple can it be? How simple can God make the idea of restoration and repair? Now, the Bible says to the New Testament church in Galatians 6 and verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Thou also be tempted. In other words, when people need to be encouraged and yes, restored and forgiven and all repaired, all of that falls under that umbrella of what the Bible calls forgiveness. And people need that. And if we don't take up that mantle, if we don't take up that spiritual truth and try to help them, not kick them when they're down, not punch them when they're hurting, not ignore them altogether. The Bible is clear about how to handle that situation, but it starts by us, those of us that are spiritual. I think that's a big factor. The reason a lot of people cannot forgive is because they're not very spiritual. The reason they don't want to restore sinners and other believers who have fallen away is because they're not spiritual themselves. Here Jeremiah writes, as God in the Bible said, the word from Jeremiah that came from the Lord. And here we have this idea of a life made over. Now in the context of the six verses I read, obviously God is speaking to the nation of Israel. And God is telling them that He wants to remake them. They have fallen into idolatry. They have fallen into spiritual adultery. They have fallen away from the temple and the laws of God and have followed after false gods and building idols and all the things that God told Israel in the beginning, thou shalt not do. Because of that, God, although if you read the passage, if you read the Old Testament, even up to this very point, God many times offered them forgiveness. Many times offered them a way out. And in fact, when they did turn back to Him, He accepted them for what they were and began to bless them again. But, like most people do, including you and I, God is good to us, and then we get complacent, and we begin to take that for granted, and suddenly we are doing things and saying things and conceiving things in our heart that before then we would have never even thought about. When we were right with God, we would never think to do things like that. But it happens to all of us. Or it, let me say it this way, it can happen, all of us. So here we find the idea, as I mentioned, of restoration, of repair. If you're here and you've backslid, if you've gotten away from, and by the way, you don't have to be way out in gross sin to backslide. You can backslide, but just not go to church like you should. Now you're going to say, oh, I've heard all this before. Yeah, I know, we all have, but yet we're still having a hard time doing it. Isn't it amazing how people will fuss about, well, I don't want to be preached at. Most of us, that's exactly what we need. Be preached at and to be told, to be reminded of how good God's been to us. Now, here, and let me just give you a verse by way of introduction, Psalm 51:12. You don't have to turn there. But listen to what the Bible said. David said, restore unto me. Now, to restore something means you had to have had it and lost it. If I go buy a brand new car, I don't go to the dealer and say, restore unto me that new car. So that's what you say to the finance company when they come and tow it off. Say amen right there. David had, now he didn't lose his salvation. Please don't misunderstand. He's not asking for his salvation to be restored. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David lost the joy of the Lord. Listen, friend, it doesn't take much for you and I to lose the joy of the Lord. It can be one Sunday missed. It can be one day not reading your Bible. It can be one hour not praying. It can be one moment at work when you when used to be you would walk away from ungodly talk, but now you'll sit and listen. Now you may not participate, but you don't want people to think that you're not one of the crowd. Things like that cause us to lose the joy of our salvation. David said, I want that restored. Well, go back to the text now, and here we have the three main characters, or the three main subjects of Jeremiah 18. And that is the potter, the clay, and the wheel. Now we all, again, this is simple right now. I'm going to give you something here in a moment. But in the introduction, very simple. We know who the potter is. Potter is God. He is talking to Israel. Remember in verse 1, he said that the word came from the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah. And Jehovah God is the one that called Israel. He's the one that chose Israel. He's the one that made Israel. And he wants to restore them back. And he wants to be able to, when I say the word repent here, that means to change his mind about what he's doing and having to do to his people. So we find the potter is God. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says this. Now let's bring it to the New Testament. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The day you got saved, you became a lump of clay. And God made you, or attempted to make you, what he wanted you to be. Now, when you're a new Christian, when you're just learning, when you're excited, man, listen, it doesn't matter what God does for you or to you, you're all for it. Here's the problem. The Bible here is talking about having to remake a piece of pottery. Now remember, pottery is an inanimate object. It cannot decide for itself. But the spiritual application here is that you and I have to become lumps of clay, nothing in the hand of God, or when we start to take over, suddenly the pot gets a little lopsided. You've been around a lopsided Christian? I have. When they're not right with God, they may not be in sin, but they're just not on the same page with everybody down at the church house. And they don't agree with what that preacher says, and they don't like the standards, and they don't like the convictions, and they get lopsided. Or as some folks say way out in the country, wompy jawed. Yeah. It just seems like all of a sudden, nothing makes them happy. They're just looking for a reason to murmur. That happens. You're not just a lump of clay being made, but you decide to be a pot with a brain. Right, and that's what we are. We are flesh. You know your flesh is basically dirt. That's what pots are made out of. Pottery is made out of dirt. Dirt and water. That's what we are. We're dirt and water. But the only difference is we can think. We can decide. We can choose. And that's why faith becomes important to us. It's not important to a piece of pottery. It can't believe in anything. You and I can. That's why this is a simple analogy, but it is a very... It's a great truth that we need to grab onto. If you're lost here today, God can make you into something. If you're saved here today and you've gotten away from God, He can restore you into something. Whatever it is He wants to make you, He's willing. So the potter is God. The clay, of course, is us. As I mentioned, Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. I'm not saying you, I'm saying me. I am His workmanship. And then you'll notice in Isaiah 64 and 8, listen to what the Bible said. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou art the potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand. I've said this many times, we are not all God's children, we're all God's creation. And God has a specific plan and a design for all of us. You say, well, I'm not even sure if I believe in God. Guess what? If that ever happens, God's already got a design and a purpose for you. That's the kind of God He is. You're not going to occur to God one day. He's already got it in mind. But He's not going to force that on you. You see, with an inanimate piece of clay, the potter can do with it whatever he wants to. And the clay has nothing to say about it. That's why we are free moral agents. That's why God created us to love Him and to serve Him, not to just be there. So God is the potter. We are the clay. But then you'll notice the Bible also mentions wheels. Wheels, plural. What are the wheels? Now, you know about a potter's wheel. If you've ever seen them make pottery at Carolina Pottery, places like that, that's what they do. You can pull it up online, watch how they make pottery, and it is fascinating to watch. And sometimes the potter, if he's really talented, can work on more than one thing at a time. He can actually work on wheels. But here we are talking about a God who not only can work on several things at the same time, He made everything. He knows how everything works. He's already got it in mind. He's not having to stop one and think about the other. Man, he can just make us all at the same time because he's God. But what are the wheels? I look at the wheels here as the circumstances of our lives. Everybody, we're not all made on the same wheel. You know why? Our circumstances are not the same. What happens to you in a day may not happen to me. It may happen the same or the same idea, but it can happen differently. God deals differently. We're not robots. All of our life circumstances are different. Family, job, marriage, children, grandchildren, neighborhood, society. You just pick anything. None of us are the same, just like snowflakes. So two of us are the same. So here we have God, the potter. Here we are, the clay. And here we are on whatever wheel, whatever life circumstance we find ourselves, God is able to work on us. Sometimes we pray this way. Lord, I don't like the circumstance. If you'll deliver me from my circumstance. Let me say this to you. That circumstance may be the very wheel in which God wants to work on you. Ask Him to remove you. Ask Him to make something out of you while you're going through it. That's right. So the one thing I did see and read about a potter is there's something they call throwing the pot. This is not, ladies, when you're mad at your husband, throwing the pot. But throwing the pot is the potter already knows what he wants. He's already got in mind what he wants. So he grabs up clay, gets it in water, and just like mud, and balls it up. I mean, it's just a lump. And then they do this all the time. I mean, this is something that it's called throwing the pot. They find the wheel they want to work on, and they just throw that lump on the pot or on the wheel. Just throw it on there. One of two things is going to happen. Either the clay is going to, and by the way, he's always ready for this. He's always aiming for the middle of the wheel. So one of two things happens. He hits the mark and begins to make whatever it is he wants to make, or it falls off. Does starts over again. Well, preacher, you don't understand. If you knew my life, you'd know that God can't help me. Hey, you may have just fell off the wheel, but don't worry. God can start over again. Done that for all of us. As a Christian, I've been started over many times. Say amen right there. I've been a pot on the wheel, but sometimes I fall off. Sometimes I'm a little off. And not by my own choosing, not the potter's choosing. And he has to start over again. That's the great thing about the mercy of God, is that he'll take nothing and start over again. You can be a failure, but God can still make you something valuable. Don't let the devil tell you that you're done, you fool, you fool, you've messed up, you're not right, God doesn't love you, don't go back to church. Don't go back to God. Just don't do your thing. You're finished. Don't you listen to him. What about Joseph? You think he had a tough circumstance? He spent 2 years in jail for something he didn't do. What about Job? Think his circumstances were a little difficult? He was being accused and touched by the devil when God said he's a man that loves God and eschews evil. God said he was a perfect man and upright. Job suffered without needing to. And most of all, 1,000 years ago, a man named Jesus came along, had no guile in his mouth, no sin in his life. Even Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in him, but they crucified him anyway. He was the innocent dying for the guilty, the just for the unjust. And I'm glad that God sent his son to die for a whole bunch of broken pots. So you see, circumstances of life, You might can try to turn them around with the help of God, but things happen. They just happen. Don't crawl in a hole somewhere. Don't crawl in a shell. Don't quit. Become a hermit. And by the way, when you ask God, remove it from me, if he says no, then just let him work on you. Because he said, I'll never leave thee. A good potter will never take a piece of clay that can be used and throw it away quickly. Simple thoughts. It's already 11:30. I got to go along here. Look at verse 4 quickly. Notice the problems of a life that resists. Talking about when you are need to be made over, it's because you have resisted the hand of the potter. Now, regular clay can't do that, but I can. That's why the truth is aimed at people, pots. It's just a picture. And so notice the problems of a life that resists in verse number 4. Look what it says in our text. It says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred. It means it had issues. It didn't come out right. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher, I thought you said God always made things right. But always remember now, this is a picture. I'm talking about people can decide for themselves, I don't want to be what you're making me. So that makes us marred. Marred. That means when we're marred, we become messy. You ever been around somebody that's just away from God? They're just messy. They're a hot mess. Oh, that's right. They're messy. What does that mean? They're not desirable. Who wants a messy piece of pottery? When you were kids, I don't know if they even do this anymore, but when I was in kindergarten, first grade, we made ashtrays. That's what we made. I'm sorry. You know, what can I say? Didn't know no better. Both my parents smoked at the time, so I thought it was a pretty good idea. And you know, so in the first grade, you know, you're not an experienced potter. You say, well, preacher, how'd you make it? I'll show you. We did practice throwing the pot. Didn't know we were. But as a first grader, you get a handful of clay, you know you got to do something with it. Pretty soon you're having a Play-Doh fight. How do you remember Play-Doh? Yeah, I said, the kids know Play-Doh? I didn't know they still had it. How about Silly Putty? Yeah, okay, well, all right, there you go. How about a Slinky? Oh, don't lie, you don't know what that is. Anyway, so here's what we did. The teacher would go around and give us this clay, a cup of clay, and we had a little board we put it on, you know, and she put it there in front of us. So now we're going to make ashtrays, Mom and Dad. Now, no wheel, you know, this is like first grade pottery class. Here's what we did. He said, when I say three, you make an ashtray. And so she said, one, two, three, and we all went, that was the middle of the ashtray. That's what we did. We didn't go, wait now. Now, I've never smoked in my life, not even one puff. Thank God. But here's what they said do. Now we got to fix it so they can use it. So what do? We take these two fingers on both hands and go, poof. And then the teacher said, all right, it'll be dry tomorrow. You can take it home after school tomorrow. That's it. Woo! Potters. Took it home and you know, Mom and Dad, bless you. That's so wonderful. What is it? It's an ashtray. Oh, okay. And they would even use it for a little while. But here's the problem. They never put it out in the living room on the coffee table. Now, I know why now. I didn't know then. But see, I know now. It's a mess. And by the way, that's what happens when you and I get away from God. We become a mess. Yeah. We're not desirable to anyone. But then notice also, not just when it's marred, it's not just messy. It's malfunctioning. Just not usable. You know what, folks? If you're born again and you get away from God, I'm telling you, you're going to be in a place where God can't use you. Until you're ready to be remade and restored and repaired, God can't use you. He wants to. He surely does. And then, of course, when we're marred, we're also misshapen. Meaning that we're not even, you know what? You can get away long enough until people wouldn't even recognize if you told them you were a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go down to Anchor. Really? A Christian? And don't look at me like that doesn't happen. It happens all the time. Think for 1 minute the world's not looking for misshapen Christians that they can point to and say, if that's being a Christian, I'm as good as they are. There's problems when you resist. Look at secondly, quickly in verse 4, the promise of a life that repents. There's the mercy of God. There's the restoration. It says in verse 4, look what it says. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. Kind of sounds like being born again. Kind of sounds like being used again. You know what the word again refers to? Something that was and no longer is, but can be again. I'm glad you can be lost and still be born again. You can be saved and away from God, but you can be reused and made again. Don't let the devil convince you to throw yourself away. If the potter's not going to throw you away, why would you throw yourself away? Promise of a life that repents. See, repentance leads to second chances. We'd be glad God gave us a second chance. And there may be some who got saved the very first time they fell under conviction, but that's kind of rare. Most of the time, it takes several visits. I don't know how many. That's not up to me. I know one thing. He visited me many times before I finally got saved. Boy, I'm glad when I got repaired, it gave me a second chance. Second chance to live. Not only does repentance lead to second chances, but repentance leads, you ready, to second glances.
Yeah.
You can get saved and get away and get remade and restored, and suddenly people are seeing you again like they used to see you before you fell. But here's the thing. When you purposely fall, you are not promised a second chance. What you are promised is that God will restore you if you ask. A piece of pottery that's messed up can't look at the potter and say, hey, can you do me over again, bud? You do that. It's adamant. That's the great thing. And by the way, if you're talking to God, don't call him bud. God, I messed up. Not usable, not desirable. Fortunately, I'm unrecognizable. I don't want to be that way no more. God, can you help me? God will take you and he'll douse you in the water of the Holy Spirit and just make you a big old ball and say, poof! Put you right in the middle of the wheel and say, here we go. Man, what joy you can have. Weeping endureth for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Give the last thing, and I'm through. Look at Jeremiah 19. Just turn over a page. I'll be through. Notice the peril of a life that rebels. Peril of a life that rebels. Look in Jeremiah 19 and verse 10. Notice the Bible said, then thou shalt break the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet, till there be no place to bury. It is possible, as a human being, as a piece of pottery, clay in God's hand, to tell him so often, leave me alone, until pretty soon he will do that. And notice here, the peril of a life that rebels. First of all, like a vessel, you rebel, your life will be broken. So many suffer needlessly as Christians because they are broken. And they will not submit to the Holy Spirit. They have been away so long, or maybe it wasn't totally real in the first place. I don't know. There's all kinds of reasons. They have so decided that they don't want God in their life anymore until God finally says, okay, stay broken. Stay broken. Then notice in verse 11, I don't like a vessel will your life be broken, but like a vessel your life will be buried. Be buried. Buried in doubt. Buried in guilt. Buried in self-denial. Buried in self-righteousness. I may not be what God wants me to be, but I'm what I want to be. You know what that is? That self-righteousness. You'll get buried in that. You'll want to get out and can't. I am extremely claustrophobic. I am. I don't like tight places. I don't even like long-sleeve shirts. If they made short-sleeve sport coats, I'd wear them. I think I'll do that. Yeah. And one of the things, I mean, this may be silly to you, it's not to me. Sometimes I'll dream about being confined in a small place. And literally will wake me up gasping because it seems so real to me. I've never had an MRI. Haven't had to have one. If I ever do, they better give me some anesthetic. I'm not talking about my veins. I'm talking about a hammer to my head. Because if I'm awake and go in that little tube, somebody's going to have trouble. Because, I mean, they tell me that thing is like right on your nose. You can't do. Now, they have something called an open MRI. That's good. I hope they made that just for me. If I ever have to have one, I'm going to ask for an open MRI. If they tell me, no, you got to go in that tube, I'm going to say, then you go in the tube. I'm not doing it. I've heard stories of people who have survived being buried alive. I cannot imagine what that's like. Can't even begin to imagine what it's like. And yet there are so many of God's people who, because they're broken and will not give themselves to the potter, they're buried. They can't move. They can't do. I can't breathe. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, that you can breathe. Feel like you've been rejected. What am I doing here? Always remember, if that ever happens, it will never be the potter's fault, your fault. And then lastly, and I'm through in verse 11, make a vessel, your life will be bankrupt. Now the Bible says in that verse 11, notice, so will I break this people as one break the potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. Cannot. When you get to the place where you cannot afford to live, you declare bankruptcy. And you cannot. Now, and I've dealt with all the chapters of bankruptcy when I was in the finance business. I know all about all that stuff. And really all it was basically a means by which to get out of debt and start over again. I would tell them, if you declare bankruptcy, now you know it's going to be on your credit report for 10 years and you won't be able to do. Listen, I know people who declare bankruptcy and now drive better cars than I drive, live in bigger houses than I live in. So there you go. Well, are you going to? I never have, and I'm not going to. You've got to take care of me. Here's the point. If you stay away from God and tell you as the pot, tell the potter, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I don't want you to touch me. You stay that way long enough, and even if you're saved, you will be morally and spiritually bankrupt. You won't have anything. Yeah, well, that's all right. I'll live by my... I'll pull myself by my own bootstraps. And you ever thought about that statement? You really pull yourself up by your bootstraps? If you have boots on and grab the straps, how are you going to pull yourself up? That means you have to pull your feet off the ground. That's dumb. That's how people think. Really, that's how people think. I'll take care of it myself. I don't care if it's impossible. I'm doing it anyway. You'll find yourself in moral and spiritual bankruptcy. You don't have to be. Because he said, Israel, if you'll just trust me, that I can make you over again. Christian, God wants to make you over again. I said, you don't have to be out in gross sin or, you know, just away from God and just being, you know, I said bankrupt. Hey, just have a little crack in the pot. See, a cracked pot may be pretty. Not very usable. What good is a pretty pot with a hole in it? You can pay. Listen, you see, they talk about this Chinese pottery from the Ming Dynasty. You know, it's worth $1 million, a little old tea cup or something, until you try to use it. Now you say, well, nobody, you pay that kind of money, you don't ever use it. Here's the point. God makes us to use us, not to look at. We're not to look at. Now, it's true that people will see us, and that's right. But he wants to use us so they will, too, want to be what we are. Christian, if there's even the slightest hint of not being where you should be on the potter's wheel, today's the day to get it right with God. Lost person, if you're not saved, you'll never know what it is to be anything until you give your heart to Christ and allow him to put you on his wheel and make you what he wants you to be, not what you want you to be. It doesn't matter what mom and dad say as far as what you're going to be in eternity. Let me qualify that. It doesn't matter what the relatives or the friends or the brothers or sisters, you know, well, you could be this and you could be that and you can do, hey, it's what God wants, not what you want. But please, be restored, be repaired, and be used. Father, we love you today. Thank you for the
message. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies this morning, the choir. Oh, what beautiful music we've had today. God, I'm grateful that we can come to this place and worship because of the God we serve. And Lord, so many times I've had to be put back on the potter's wheel. And I'm 60 years old. I'll probably be back on it sometime or other, I'm sure. Because I'm flesh and I make wrong decisions and I do wrong things. We just do that, Lord. I'm thankful that I have a potter who loves his work and is willing to redo it, remake it, reshape it. We'll just let it. Or if there's somebody here unsaved, help them to come to Christ and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And when that happens, then we become clay in the potter's hand. And then starts a life of molding and making, of reshaping and redoing. I mean, that's the greatness of life, is that we'll experience God's mercy until Jesus comes, when we won't need that mercy anymore. So, Father, I pray that you'll have your way in the hearts of everyone who's heard this message. Speak to their hearts like you spoke to mine. And help us to obey and respond to the potter this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.